This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Born April 28th in New Rochelle, New York, and raised in Andover, Massachusetts, he was a stand-up comedian who made his Tonight Show debut in 1977. By the late 80s, he was a regular guest host, and in 1992, he was chosen as the replacement for Johnny Carson, hosting the show for nearly two decades. But these days, he's busier than ever as host of the CNBC series, Jay Leno's Garage, and you can see him every weekday as host of the syndicated game show, You Bet Your Life. Please welcome comedy legend Jay Leno.
Mr. Jay Leno, welcome to the show, my friend. How are you?
Show people, what's going on? How are you?
Good. Listen, I'm just such a fan. It's been forever since we've spoken, and man, you've just been on fire. This retirement thing doesn't seem to be slowing you down much.
Well, people think because you leave one show, you're retired, and yeah. I never really retired. I always consider myself a stand-up comedian.
Sure.
I enjoyed. You know, TV jobs are like, they don't last forever. So you go, is this going to be 13 weeks? Is it going to be 22 years? I was lucky it lasted 22 years, but you always want to have that extra job in your pocket. You know?
Well, you got to do something, right? I mean, you need to have a purpose in this life. It's your social interaction. It's your creativity. It's your brain. Like, there's no just sitting around waiting for the clock to end.
Well, that works for me. Yeah, I'll take that explanation. Sure, sure. I always like having stuff to do. And, you know, when you're telling jokes for a living, it's fun. It's not really a job. I've
right.
had real jobs. They're horrible.
Yeah, they really are horrible. Would you remember the last terrible job you had, the one this is just 8 hours every day of pure hell.
Let's see, the last terrible job I had. Well, I did work at McDonald's, and I worked at car dealerships.
Sure.
Those were the two last jobs. In high school, I had some terrible jobs. I worked at a... I worked at a Howard Johnson's. Do you know what grill chalk is?
Yes.
You ever?
Yes,
I had to take the frozen patties out and stripe them before they put them in the microwave.
Yes. Oh, yes.
So it would look as if this hamburger tastes terrible, but at least it's charbroiled. we just put the stripes on there. And that, I used to hold these stupid frozen patties and just stripe them so they would, you know, so, ooh, look at that charbroiled, you know. That was a pretty bad job.
Stay in school, kids. I'm telling you, I was a server at a restaurant, I don't think they exist anymore, called Po' Folks. People don't tip.
Oh, I remember Po' Folks. Yeah, Po' Folks. Are they gone?
I think so. I don't know. There's none in our area anymore. But, yeah, people who eat.
Comedian Sinbad?
Yeah, yes.
You know, he had the best joke about Po' Folks because I met him. I was working at Zany's, and he came in Nashville. And he came in one day, and he was in the Air Force, and he said, oh, I want to be a comedian. I said, you want to go up before I go on, do a few minutes? He goes, could I? Okay. And he said, he went to Poor Folks. And you know how Poor Folks used to have the letters backwards in the sign?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
He goes, you know, just because I'm poor doesn't mean I'm illiterate.
Yeah, absolutely.
I used to think that was a great joke.
Well, speaking of great jokes, would you bet your life that you've got together now? I forgot about the Groucho Marx cigar incident years ago. For people who don't know, Groucho Marx was the original host of You Bet Your Life. And the,
right,
you know,
right.
It's a word of the day, and the duck would drop down the cigar. But the lady who had 11 kids, you remember this?
Oh, yeah. There's so many rumors about, you know, that was a pretty risque show back
sure.
in the day when Groucho did it. Now that would be like G-rated, you know. But back then, it was pretty, yeah. pretty risque.
Yeah, but Groucho, you think about how far back this show, and it's such a, because Jake and I were talking about this off air, that it's not really a game show per se. A lot of times it feels like a variety show. It feels like an interview show.
Right. Well, the show started on radio. It started on radio, and then Groucho brought it to TV from, I think it ran from about 1948 to 1961. And then Bill Cosby revived it. Gee, I wonder what happened there. And then Buddy Hackett did it very briefly. But and then I always liked it. You know, I used to base jaywalking with that thing on the Tonight Show. We just go up to people on the street and ask them questions. That was sort of based on Groucho Marx. It was the same kind of interview thing. And I liked it because it was totally unscripted. You just went up and asked people some questions. You found somebody you thought might be interesting. And 9 times out of 10, they were. You know, that was sort of the key. The one thing everybody seems to tell me they like about the show is how happy all the contestants seem to be. Because you take two complete strangers who've never met, and they're put together on TV live, and they have to work as a team to try and win the money. And it's fun because it's not life-changing money, it's month-changing money, you know?
Right.
The most you can win on the show is $5,500. So it's like when people bet the whole thing, it's not like you're losing $100,000, you know?
Right.
I mean, 55 is a lot of money, but people feel like, oh, I got $2,000, I want to double this, you know? And that's the fun part.
Yeah, and that's an interesting component, but really, to me, that's why you're so great at this, is you have to have the gift of, you have to be naturally curious human being, and I think you are. You're a guy who, every situation I think you're in, you have a question about it. You're really involved and you're living in the present, and that means when you meet a new person and you ask questions, you really do, and that's why people love shows like that.
Yeah, that's what I like, because, you know, if I walk into a room, I immediately gravitate towards wherever the crowd is just to start just talking to people. And it really makes it a lot of fun. And
yeah.
I think it really makes the show work is the fact that there's no politics.
Right.
You know, the show opens with we always have some sort of comedy bit, but it doesn't involve politics. Because it's amazing how well people will get along if you don't bring up politics.
Right.
You know, and a lot of times I'll meet people on the show and go, oh, I probably don't agree with this guy. But I'm not going there. We're not discussing that. And then you find out the things you have in common. Maybe you're both motorcycle enthusiasts or you like to travel or whatever it might be.
Sure.
But as long as you take politics out of the mix, Americans can get along pretty good when we have to.
Fact. You speaking of motorcycles, how did you feel about that new, because I have one, the Harley Davidson Livewire?
You know, oh, you've got one.
Yeah.
You know, I rode it. I was very impressed with it. I mean, to me, I think it's a great commuter bike.
Yeah,
I think the difference between motorcycles as opposed to electric cars are big, so you can have a big battery, so you can go a long distance. If I go riding on a motorcycle, I go riding for the day, or at least half a day.
Right.
And with the Livewire, if you go 50 miles from home, you better turn around.
Right.
You got to go exactly 50 miles back. And that's the only problem with it. But, I mean,
fast.
It's the future. It looks like a motorcycle. It's fast like a motorcycle. It's not quiet. I mean, it's quiet, but not like a motorcycle.
Yeah, no, I love the jet engine and the, you know, regenerating brakes. That when it comes down, it's going. But I was fascinated by lack of, you know, no clutch, no gear, and I've got a Russian sidecar, a Russian Ural with a sidecar, so super old school 1941 level stuff, all the way to this new, you know, electric Harley, which is such a blasphemy, you know, the Harley.
Right. I've got a Ural too. They're hilarious.
Yeah. Silly.
You know, it's so funny because mine, I think, is a 2017. And you think, this is brand new. And, you know, when it comes from the Soviet Union, I remember putting that, you know, it has that emergency brake on it. And bing, yeah. The table just broke. Like the
yep.
first day, I go, really?
Yep.
You know, you get used to a certain level of quality. But they're getting better and better.
Sure.
But they're fun. They're fun.
That's what they're meant.
I enjoy it.
I bought mine for my dog. God rest him, man. He got a little set of doggles, and I put a seat in and put through a bolt through it so he could have a harness. And he rode that thing for thousands of miles with me. Just, you know, because they're everything you do, you have to think about on those ridiculous motorcycles. You brake, it's going to go one way. You're going to accelerate, it's going to go another.
Right.
But before we, because there's so much to talk about, but I wanted to talk to you about the fact that you, at one point, with the new Tesla S Plaid, you held the quarter mile record for at least the first part of the day one day.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's amazing how fast it is. I drove from my house to Bakersfield, which is about an hour and a half, maybe close to 2 hours. Drove onto the strip, air conditioner on, and turned what I turned 9.247.
Yeah, fast.
152 miles. I mean, it's amazing how fast electric vehicles are. Because, you know, we come from the era when, was that a golf cart? You know, maybe it goes 28 miles an hour or whatever it might be. But now you've got 1,100 horsepower.
Crazy.
And, in fact, I think a Tesla Plaid just beat the new Porsche RS around Laguna Seca by a second and a half. So it's pretty amazing. I mean, that's where we're going. And by 2030 or 2035, I think it'll all be electric.
Well, and one doesn't replace the other. Like, I still love a combustion engine. You know, there's no replacement for displacement. The anticipation of the engine building and the RPMs climbing, you'll never get away from that. But
I think what'll happen is I think people will commuting in a 426 Hemi doesn't really do you any good because you can't use any of the power. But I think it'll become like horses or like recreational vehicles. You drive your electric car during the week in traffic. Then on the weekend, you take your Porsche or Ferrari or whatever electric vehicle you have, and you go up into the hills, or your gas car, rather. And you go up into the hills, and you have fun, and you drive it the way it was intended.
Right.
You know, I mean, the car was the great savior of the American horse. You know, horses used to drop dead in the street from exhaustion, from being overworked, and they'd leave the carcass in the street and the disease and dysentery and all that kind of stuff. And now, there are more horses in America now than there have ever been, but they're all for pleasure, and they're all maintained and treated nicely, you know? So I think it's sort of the same thing. Your gas car will always be here, at least for the next 100 years or so. It'll just have a different purpose.
And I know we have to wrap, but I will tell you, one of the reasons I love you so much, Jay, is I love people like you that everything you look at, you don't buy it so that people know I've done well for myself. Look at my wealth. I have this item. You dig in and you want to know why this Bentley Turbo is the way it is, why this, you know, Corvair is built the way it was, why this series of car had this. You're a guy with a curiosity about all things in this life and why they are the way they are. And I think that's the very core of what makes you so great.
Well, that's right, guy. Well, thank you. But, I mean, it is fun to be curious. And if I'm being curious, you know, a lot of funny things happen, especially when you're curious about people and you go, oh, my God, this person is very bizarre.
I can't wait to see You Bet Your Life Wednesdays, by the way, weekdays, 3:30 at KSHB 41 here in Kansas City. Jay Leno's Garage on CNBC on Wednesdays at 9 o'clock Kansas City. And, Jay, anytime. It's just a pleasure. You wear your legend well.
Thank you, my friend. Thanks for taking the time. I'll talk to you soon. We'll go ride sometime.
Anytime. Come on. Because... you know what I'm talking about. There's guys in this life that buy the car to show everybody, see what I've done, see how important I am.
Uh-huh.
And then there's guys who can, like, the best recent one is, I told you when I came back from that car show, it happened in Prairie Village, and I met the guy with the Chrysler. It was a 1957, I believe, Chrysler Imperial, but it had a stereo with a turntable in it. Mm-hmm. And those guys at Chrysler had put that together. And it was super fascinating. But, man, when I asked that guy about that, he lit up, and he couldn't wait to tell me the history of the car, how it all went together, why it didn't work, what was the failure, how they tried to bring it back under a different name, where the car came from, the Mayo Clinic, Dr. Mayo.
Oh, his car.
It was his car. There's a photograph of the, I don't know if it's a... I don't know whoever runs. That just sounds so crazy. Back in the day, in the 50s, I don't know if there was a king of India, there was the parliament. If it was England, I don't know how that lays out. But the guy running, the head of India, was visiting the Mayo Clinic, and there's a picture of him in the back of this car. This guy ends up buying the car based on his father when he was growing up was pretty well to do. He traded stocks. So you're talking about the 40s, 50s. He saw on his father's desk some stock tips he had written down.
Like this his is notes.
This is in the 50s, 40s. He had made money, $1,600, saved it up over the course of a couple years mowing lawns. Without his father's knowledge, he bought stock. A couple years later, it turned into enough money to buy this car, slightly used in the 60s, from this Dr. Mm-hmm. Mayo. And just the history, and he's kept it all of this time. And just, it's an, I mean, you know, if you'll just take time, be curious, and ask a question, it's a whole lot more than just a car. You know what I mean? It's just, and then, of course, sometimes you'll meet somebody and you'll go, so what's this? And they're like, I just bought it. It's real good because it's expensive.
Or.
And you're like, you're boring.
You don't know.
Oh. Right.
Idiot.
Yeah.
Or.
Yeah. There's those guys too. I've never been a big fan of them. Which, by the way, those Urals, that are, they're not super well put together. You know, I bought one new. You know how much I paid? $9,000. Brand new with a sidecar.
That seems real affordable.
$9,000. That's, you know, for a motorcycle, that's pretty goddamn affordable brand new. Now, remember the whole way that they came to, they looked like a BMW because they really are BMWs. After the war, the factory was on the wrong side of the reparation line between Russia and Germany. And they were like, yeah, I know that used to be called a BMW. It's called a Ural now after our mountains. It's real good. You should buy one.
This is the Johnny Dare Morning Show.
The Johnny Dare Morning Show.
On 98.9 The Rock.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.